Luke chapter 11. We're going to be looking today at verses 1 through 10 and teach us to pray. Let's read it and then we'll go back and we'll look at it in more detail. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And so he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" And he said to them, "Which of you, having a friend, and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say to him, 'Don't trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I can't rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open." Lord, as we gather before you to look at your word, Lord, we ask God that you would now open your word to us. God, we know that it is a work of your spirit that brings your word alive to us. And we ask that you would open up your word to us. And truly, Lord, even as your disciples asked so many years ago, Lord, we ask the same thing today. Lord, teach us to pray. I pray that as we look, Lord, at the way you taught your disciples to pray, Lord, that we would learn how to be men and women of prayer. Because, Lord, we know that is how we will be men and women of success when it comes to serving you in the kingdom. So, Lord, we give you this time. We ask you would open your word. We ask you would teach us. And, Lord, again, we thank you for this. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, you notice the title of today's message. And that is this: teach us to pray. Now, notice this. I want to make a statement that may shock you. Prayer changes nothing. Kind of goes against the bumper sticker you may have seen from car to car. What do I mean by that? Well, when I say prayer changes nothing, let me clarify that. The God that we pray to changes everything. It is not simply prayer that changes things. Although I understand the bumper sticker and although I agree with it, if we look at it technically, guys, we need to understand as we look today at prayer and the Lord teaching us how to pray, teaching us really more importantly to pray, is not that prayer changes things, but the God that we pray to, he's the one that changes things. Why is this so important? Well, because many people today believe that simply prayer changes things. And they believe they can pray to any God or pray to anything. Some people, as you know, actually praying to trees and rocks and whatever it might be, believing that God's going to respond to their prayer. No, it's praying to the one who can answer. That's when prayer changes things and prayer changes lives. It's who we're praying to, not even so much what we're praying or what we're praying about. It's the one that we're praying to. And in order to make sure that those prayers are effective, guys, one of the first things we have to make sure is that we know the one that we are praying to. And of course, the disciples, they knew the Lord. They knew the one they were praying to. The question is today, what about you? Have you been praying and praying and praying and like, why doesn't God answer my prayer? Why isn't this happening? Now, we all know in prayer that there are 3 answers. This is something you've probably heard numerous times. Yes, no, and wait. I like almost no better than wait. Wait drives me crazy. I just soon almost the Lord say, no, it's not going to happen, than to say wait, because then it takes patience and I have to add another factor in there. But guys, it might be because if you've been asking the Lord to hear you and you've not yet met him personally, that is the reason your prayer has not been answered. Is understand this. There is a false saying in America that all are God's children. Not biblical. As a matter of fact, all are not God's children. Now, let me clarify this. Are all created by God? Yes. But the Bible says that only those who turn from their sin and receive Jesus Christ in their life are God's children. Remember John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. He says, "For those who have asked the Lord into their heart, to them he gave the right to become the children of God." Now, this is key when it comes to prayer, because this may answer some of your questions. Why isn't God answering me? My first question is this: why should he? You see, God is only obligated to answer prayer to his children. If you're not one of his children, there is no obligation for God to offer that answer, and there's really no right on your part to ask. However, when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, you now have the keys to the kingdom. It's all yours, the Bible says. God gets it all there. Now, does that mean that God never hears the prayer of the unbeliever? Well, he has to, or else we wouldn't be here, would we? If God didn't hear my prayer before I was saved, he couldn't have heard me say, Lord, save me. So God does hear our prayer when we're crying out to him to be saved. However, we must realize that when we're just praying to some nebulous God that we don't know, guys, the Bible says that indeed we're not connected. And that's why oftentimes I think prayers go unanswered, if you will, and people wonder what's wrong and why isn't the Lord listening? No, the Lord does listen, but he listens to his children and listens to those who desire to become his children. Now, as we get into this, it's called the Lord's Prayer. Let me say this, and you've probably heard this. Probably the best title for this is not the Lord's Prayer. Why? Well, the Lord didn't really need to pray this because in the prayer, he says, forgive us of our sins. Question, did the Lord ever sin? No, it's not really the Lord's Prayer, even though that's how we know it. Guys, it's the disciples' prayer. This is your prayer if you're a believer, and yet the Lord was teaching us how to pray. Now, not to get into technicalities there, but again, to realize this is a prayer that God has given to us, and it's not something that we say word for word, line for line. We can do it that way, but understand, it is not that Jesus is teaching us to pray rote. The Lord wants us to pray heartfelt, personal prayers, but he wanted to give us a template. You know, when we did the Cub Scout, God and Me, one of the requirements they had was to learn the Lord's Prayer. And when we talked about the Lord's Prayer in that particular session, I emphasized to these young boys, I said, you know what? It's not the words that you say. It's not simply going down and saying this prayer when you get in trouble. It's a formula for prayer. It's teaching you how to pray so that you'll know how to interact with your God. And I think a lot of times we do that, don't we? We by rote. What do we say? We get in trouble. A car swerves in front of us. We almost die. Our Father, heart in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. You ever had that happen? Now, if you hadn't, maybe you know somebody that has. But guys, that's not what this is about. Understand, the Lord is not saying, here are the words to say, only say these words. There's nothing wrong in saying these words. But remember, this is a formula. It's a form. And as we get into this, we're going to see that it shows us the way that we are to pray. Notice, it's very interesting. They didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Big difference. Why is that? Well, understand, the Jews had numerous prayers they prayed per day. They had rote prayers that they prayed for meals, for in the morning, for an evening. They prayed all these different prayers that were just, they would go through just kind of like blah, 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 blah. Kind of like the one, you know, now lay me down to sleep. You know, pray my Lord my soul to keep. You know, if I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. No wonder our kids are scared to death. If I die before I wake, what are we doing? You know, Lord. But anyway, it's like, you're having nightmares? Honey, here, pray this prayer. No, please, no more. But the point is, again, much better to tell our kids, say, you know what, guys, when you pray, teach them the formula, not the words. Say, you know what, realize, and we'll get into this, pray with your heart. And we'll get into the ways to teach them. Teach your children to pray heartfelt prayers. That's the idea of this, not something that goes by rote and that we're just to do as an action or whatever. But it's we will be looking today at how to pray, but we're also going to be looking more at the aspect of just pray. You know, the Lord is not nearly as concerned about what we say as that we just talk to him. You don't have to use King James language when you pray. The Lord hears you in normal vernacular, and he cares. You know, I think that the most sincere prayers are those we just pour out and say, Lord, I just need you, Lord, and I don't know what's going on, and I need your help. And again, we'll get into more detail of the way that's to be, but it's just that heartfelt sharing with the Lord. And guys, I want to warn you of something else before we get into this, because we are going to look at how to pray as well as, Lord, teach us to pray. But again, I want us to realize this, that although there are different approaches and there are even different avenues where we teach steps to prayer, there's nothing wrong in that. Again, I think it's very good to teach a model and to teach a format and to teach a formula. But guys, don't be so hung up on the steps of prayer that you don't just pray to God. I can remember when I got taught these steps to prayer when I was a young Christian, I felt like that if I didn't go all through all the steps of prayer, that every time I prayed, I had to go through that. Which means that if I was about to, you know, drive my bike off a cliff, I had to first start with adoration. You know, Lord, you're great. Father, I just want to praise you for a while. By the time I got down to where I was supposed to be really crying out to help, I'd have been dead. It's like, no, Lord, help. Ah, you know, and you just whatever. And God intervenes. Remember Peter on the water when he started to sink, he didn't have time to go into a praise session. He just said to say what? Three words, Lord, help. Two words, Lord, help me. Or three, either one, get it right here in a minute. Peter couldn't count, and that's something we'll talk about later. He just, Lord, help, I think is all he said. Two words. And so, again, the one I want is don't be caught on this. And I want to warn you on this. The books that are out there that teach you how to pray, they're good. They're wonderful. There's nothing wrong in that. And you'll see like the seven steps to enter into his throne. Guys, let me tell you something. If my kids wanted to talk to me and had to go through seven steps before they could ask me anything, they'd never get there. Can you imagine? Now, girls, here's what you're going to do. I want you to stop out there in the hall, take your shoes off first. You know, this is holy ground, whatever. I mean, it's not, but obviously that's jest. They would do what, you know. But the point is, guys, listen, understand, there's nothing wrong in following all these formulas to learn how to pray. But remember, here's what the Lord wants. He just wants a true heart crying out to him in love. That's what he wants. He wants you to be real. If you're hurting, he wants you to say, Lord, I'm hurting. You don't have to worry about being fake with the Lord. I love David. You read the Psalms of David, which are really just all these prayers to God. And David would come and he'd say, God, I'm upset. I'm angry. Lord, things are not right. He would just lay it out there. And sometimes I think we go to prayer, we're afraid to tell God everything because maybe he'll find something out, you know, we don't want him to know. I don't want God to know that I'm upset or I'm mad or I'm... He knows. Tell him, God, right now my heart is struggling. I'm angry at this person. I know I shouldn't be. Lord, right now, rather than pray for him, I want to strangle him. And yet, God, change my heart. God says, that's a heart I can work with. Don't come to me pretending to be something you know you can't be. Be real with me. I'll give you the power. I'll give you the strength. You know, God says he just wants simplicity and he wants honesty when it comes to prayer. It's interesting. I ran across some children's prayer. These are actual Dear God letters from children. And if anything really accentuates the honesty and simplicity of prayer, these do. Notice this. I'm going to read several of them to you, so bear with me. They're really good. Listen to this one. Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that or was it an accident? Norma. Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you have now? Jane. This is logical if you think about it. Dear God, who draws lines around the countries? Nan. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? Neil. This one's from Joyce. Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but I really prayed for a puppy. This one's kind of interesting. Dear God, it rained our entire vacation, and boy, was my father mad. He said some things about you that people aren't supposed to say, but I hope you will not hurt him anyway. Your friend, but I'm not going to tell you who I am. Doesn't want to get his dad in trouble. This one's from Bruce. Dear God, please send me a pony. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up. It's from Denise. Dear God, if we come back as something, please don't let me come back as Jennifer Horton because I hate her. This is Sam. Dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I get big, but not with so much hair all over. This one's from Ruth. He says, Dear God, I think the stapler is one of your greatest inventions. This is a sweet one, Elliot. It says this, Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. This one's from Nan. Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all the people in the world. There are only four people in our family, and I can never do it. This one's from Rob. It says, Dear God, of all the people who worked for you, I like Noah and David the best. Here's another one. Doesn't have a name on it. Dear God, my brother told me about being born, but it just doesn't sound right. This one's from Mikey. This is cute. Dear God, if you watch me in church Sunday, I'll show you my new shoes. Isn't it just honest and sincere? Donna, Dear God, we read Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school we learned that you did it. I bet he stole your idea. This one's from Charles. He says, I do not think anybody could be a better God. Well, I just want you to know that, and I'm not just saying it because you're God already. This one's from Eugene. He says, Dear God, I didn't think orange went with purple until I saw that sunset you made on Tuesday. That was cool. What observation. Realizing that even God makes the sunset. Here's the last one by Larry. It says this. I love this one. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It worked for me and my brother. I think God beams when he hears those prayers. And I think when you go to God and say, God, I don't know what to say, but I need your help, and here's what's going on, I think he beams. You don't have to be theologically educated. You don't have to be doctrinally accurate on every point down the line. You just need to have love in your heart and a cry of a child to a father and say, I need you. And he says, I'm here for you. I love that. See, that is what Jesus wanted to teach the disciples. And that's really what we're going to be looking at today as we look at this, what we know of as the Lord's Prayer. Look at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass as he was praying," that is Jesus, "praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" Now, again, Jesus was a man of prayer. As you look through the Gospels, you always see the Lord praying. He would get up and be gone. Oftentimes in the morning, he would get up and they would go searching for him and they couldn't find him. He was a man of prayer. And I want to say this, you don't have to pray on a regular basis other than, "Lord, come into my heart," in order to be saved, because that's asking the Lord. He does it. But guys, if you ever want to be used in any measure or fashion, you're going to have to become a man or woman of prayer. Now, again, don't take this as a drudgery. It doesn't mean like, "Oh no, if I don't pray this amount of time and read this much Bible." No, listen, prayer is a privilege and it's a joy. It's simply pouring out your heart to the Lord. And let me say this, you can pray in any place and in any position. It doesn't have to be on your knees. It can be walking around. It can be in bed. It can be on your knees before the Lord. It can be anywhere you are, you can pray. But the key to understanding God's usefulness of us in this life, prayer. You see, the Bible says, "You have not because you what? You ask not." We tend to think, "Well, God won't use me." Well, let me ask you, have you asked him to? Have you said, "Lord, I want to be used. Use me. Give me your power. Work in my life." So again, notice Jesus here. The first thing, they noticed that he was praying. And he wasn't doing it so they could see him pray. He just prayed all the time. And they picked up on it. And notice, he says, "Teach us to pray." Why instead of how? Guys, they knew how to pray. Remember, the Jewish children were taught rote prayers, numerous prayers, one after another. They would just say, almost like we do oftentimes, the Lord's Prayer, just blah, 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 blah. And it means nothing. It meant nothing to them. But they noticed about Jesus that when he prayed, it was different. There was something intimate. There was something in his heart and in his prayer. I remember hearing a prayer someone prayed one time. And when they were done, there was a child there that asked him and said, it was either a child or an adult, I don't remember. But they said something very interesting to that person. They said, "You pray like you know him." And I thought, wow, shouldn't everyone not pray like you know religion or pray like you know a prayer? You pray like you know him. See, it shows. And when they watched Jesus and they saw him pray, they knew that he wasn't just doing his ritual Jewish duty as a good Jewish boy, saying all his rote prayers. They saw a heart that was being poured out to an intimate Father, to an intimate God. A relationship was there and they desired that. Don't you? I desire that. I want to be intimate with him. I want to know him. And what's exciting to me is he wants it more than I do. God wants you to be intimate with him more than you want to be intimate with him. But we've got to go to him in order to have that intimacy and learn how to pray. It's praying. It's not just how, really, to pray. Spending time with the Lord in prayer. They recognize his heartfelt, personal, intimate prayers, and they wanted that. And again, I think there's that danger, as we said, of the rote prayer we have to be careful of. But why do they want Jesus to teach them to pray? Notice this. They wanted Jesus to teach them to pray, not so they would learn another rote prayer, because they knew a bunch of them. Grab this. They wanted Jesus to teach them to pray because they saw what it was doing for his life. And they saw how God was using him and what God was doing through Jesus. They saw something in him that they didn't have and that they desperately wanted. And they said, "Lord, teach us. We want to have that kind of relationship." You know, there's a godly jealousy. And the Bible says that we are to stir one another up to good works. In other words, I'm supposed to make you jealous. You're supposed to make each other jealous. You're not in a bad way, in a good way. Your walk is supposed to be such in the Lord that when people see you walk, they say, "Man, I wish I had a relationship with the Lord the way that guy does. I just want to know God the way he knows God." There could be no better compliment than someone to say that to you. But that's God's desire for you, is that people see you and say, "I want a relationship like you've got." That's what they were doing here. "Lord, teach us to pray. We see in your life something that we don't have. We see peace. We see wisdom. We see direction. We see confidence. We see power that not only changes your life, but changes lives of people around you. We want some of that. Lord, teach us how to pray." And I think that's a great prayer. You know, it's interesting. They didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to preach. Lord, teach us how to teach. We want to be, you know, have a big congregation. Lord, teach us how to minister. We want to make sure that when we minister that we do it the right way." And all these things are valid, don't get me wrong, to some degree. But guys, here's what they understood and that we need to grasp this morning. You see, when they saw Jesus, they realized that his teaching, that his preaching, that his ministry, that his power, that his peace, that everything came from one thing in his life. And guess what that was? His prayer life. It was his connection to the Father. It was the prayer life that brought all these other things. And here's the first and foremost principle we need to grasp about prayer in this. If we will take care of first things first and make sure that we are praying, that we are spending time with the Father, everything else falls into place. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God and what? All these things will be added. Guys, sometimes, you ever heard this statement? I know, I've probably said it myself. I don't know. It comes out so naturally. And I know what we mean by it. We don't mean anything bad by it, but we all say this, don't we? Well, there's nothing left to do but pray. That means we've done everything else. We've exhausted every avenue that the world has to offer. I guess we better turn to God. Guys, do you see how reversed that is? God says, no. Well, we've prayed everything we know how. I guess now we'll see a doctor. What an odd statement that would be. And yet, is that not really the avenue we should be taking? Is it wrong to see a doctor? No. What is the first thing that happens oftentimes when my kids get sick? You think doctor? But guys, I think how much better to think the first thing, why don't we pray? Let's pray. Let's ask for God to do a work here. And then you know what? If he doesn't do it supernaturally right now, we'll use the means he's given us through the doctors, etc. So there's wisdom there in seeking the Lord first in that. And that's what he says, you know? They see that here. Lord, teach us how to pray. We've watched your life. We've seen it change you, and we want that. Literally, the rendering would be here in the literal Greek, teach us to be praying. Lord, teach us to be praying. We see that you're about prayer on a regular basis. Teach us to do that, because that's something that we need to do. As I said, if we do that, everything else will fall into place. Now notice what the Lord does. Verse 2. So he said to them, when you pray, say. And guys, let me make a point before we get into this. If you remember the Sermon on the Mount, which was quite some time back before this, he taught them the same prayer. Do you think the Lord was trying to teach them, again, a rote prayer? I don't think so. What the Lord was getting across to his disciples and what he wants us to grasp again this morning is, keep it simple. Keep it simple. I'm going to share the same thing with you guys that I shared earlier, because it's not so much your prayer, it's the principles in the prayer and the fact that you're doing it that's going to make a difference in your life. What are the principles in the prayer? Well, look what he says here in this template, here in this model. He says, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven. Now note this first thing, our Father. Guys, to the Jewish mindset, that was unheard of. He was God, not personal Father. He wasn't seen of as someone that you could be that intimate with. Yes, he was a personal God, but not to the level of saying to him, if you will, Father. And let me go on. When Jesus prayed, Jesus actually said, Abba. And it tells us that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit to cry out to the Lord, Abba, Father. Guys, that's the way they said Daddy. Now, don't take this in a disrespectful sense of treating it like, you know, just, you know, Daddy and not understanding who it is we're praying to. But again, notice what he's teaching them. God wants intimacy with you. It's a level of intimacy to realize that he is your dad. He is your father. He is your Abba. And he cares about you. And now you can come to him and he hears your heart. He cares about you the way a father does. Now, dad's in here. Question. Do you love your kids? I could say moms, do you as well, but for application's sake, dads, do you love your kids? Question, do you think that the father loves you as his child any less than you love your earthly child? As I can't imagine. As much as I love my girls, I try to think about God's love for me. He loves me more than that. Why? Because his love is infinite. It's a divine love. It's an agape love. It's a love that we can't reach. But notice this, it's intimate. God wants you to be intimate with him. That's the point of this whole first point. Make sure that it's in simplicity, yes, but in intimacy, you're part of the family. You'll notice through the whole prayer, he says, our and us, we're a family. We pray for each other. We work together. And again, realizing the ourness of it, the usness, the pluralness of it, it helps keep our eyes off ourselves. And especially note this, it takes praying from religion to relationship. How many of you ever prayed religiously? I have before I knew the Lord. You can say a religious prayer. I memorized, even as these scouts did, I memorized the Lord's Prayer when I was a kid. It meant absolutely nothing to me. Today it means everything to me, because now I understand what it was the Lord was trying to get across. And the first thing here is intimacy. He wants to be intimate. Guys, the God that you serve is an intimate God. Understand that. Very intimate. And notice he says, our Father in heaven. I think this is an important thing to realize when you're praying to your intimate God, guys, that he is indeed in heaven. Note this. I think that we need to understand the Lord is above us. He knows what's better for us than we do. He sits from a heavenly vantage point, a heavenly viewpoint, and we need to trust him for how he reacts to our prayers and in our life. See, it's understanding who we're praying to. Lord, we're praying to you, and you're not only our Lord, you're our Father. You're our Abba. You are our Dad, and we love you, and you are in heaven. You know what's best. You are above us, and I trust you. Do you see how he's beginning to lay the groundwork in their heart? It's more of an understanding of who you're praying to than how to pray. And then being able to share your heart with him. He says, our Father who art in heaven. Again, there's this understanding that he's higher. And notice he says, hallowed be your name. I had somebody tell me when I was a kid, God's name was Howard. I said, how do you know? He said, we say that prayer every week. Howard be thy name. No, hallowed. It's a fancy name that simply means set apart. What it means is this. Lord, your name is different than every other name. The Bible says his name is above all names. There is no other name like his. Why do I say that? Guys, again, when it comes to prayer, there are a lot of people offering a lot of prayers to a lot of gods. But guys, there's only one true God. And the Bible tells us that is the God of the Bible, the God of the scriptures, the same God that Jesus Christ taught. Again, it's that name. He's the one that we come to. He's the one. And notice it's not only set apart and special. And by the way, let me make this point. Some of you have seen, again, he is our friend. He is our Father. He is our Dad, if you will. But again, there's that sense here in the language of understanding his holiness, his greatness, and his power. He is not our homeboy. Some of you have seen the new style and fashion that's out, where they try to take Jesus or the Lord and try to make it something that's popular and fits into the culture. And again, I know that much of this is done in ignorance. I realize that. But guys, he's not the man upstairs. He's not just, you know, homeboys. We're talking about the creator of the universe. He said, let there be and there is. Yes, he's our Father. Yes, he's intimate. But again, with this language, in the language here, as Jesus is sharing, there comes a sense of respect and awe about who it is that they're talking to. So again, not so much that we can't be intimate, but that we realize that indeed he is. His name is set apart. And remember your name. What was your name? Back then, your name was everything. It was your character. It was who you were. If you said someone's name, you basically said who they were. So when you say, hallowed be your name, Lord, it's your name, your character, your personage. That's who it is that's holy. That's who it is that's set apart. Notice he says, next, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, I don't know if people understand this. A lot of times people pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But notice he says, your kingdom come. Did you know when you're praying that, you're asking for the Lord's second coming? Your kingdom come. What you're praying is, Lord, come back. Come back to the earth to establish your kingdom, to rule and reign. He says, your kingdom come. He says, you need to be looking for that. You need to be watching for my return. You need to be asking for my return. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Now, note this. Another essence of prayer is what? Is it to get our will done or to get his will done? Guys, understand when we pray, it's not to get our will done. It's to get God's will done. We are to seek the Lord and find out through prayer, Lord, what is your will? What do you want for this situation? Now, the Lord did say to the disciples, ask what you will and it will be done for you. But he said, ask in my name. And again, that is in my what? My character, who I am, my person. He says, ask the way that I would ask. And if you don't think that the Lord would ask for a Ferrari, then I don't know that maybe, you know, I'm not saying a Ferrari is wrong. I'm simply saying that when we pray, there's nothing wrong in making personal prayers. I think that's another mistake we make when it comes to prayer. We think we can't pray personally. We can. This is very personal. But realize, guys, that we're to be praying in line with what God knows is best for us, to be praying in the will of the Father. He says, you know, that's your will be done, not my will. Even Jesus in the garden, Father, it's your will be done. And notice on earth, even as it is in heaven. Again, it's being done in heaven already, but to be done down here. He says, give us, note this, verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. Guys, the Lord, again, keeps it very basic. He keeps it very simple. Here's what he's saying. You know, lift up to me what your needs are right now. That doesn't mean we can't pray for the future. That doesn't mean that we don't keep our eyes on future needs. What it means is this. Trust that the Lord's going to take care of you. If you don't have rent for tomorrow, let God worry about rent tomorrow. You say, Lord, I need you to take care of me today. He says, pray day by day our daily bread. And of course, in that culture, they made their bread fresh every day. And so it was very appropriate to them. They got the picture of what the Lord was trying to say. It's a day by day thing. Give us our daily bread. And again, I want to say this. It doesn't mean that we don't wisely plan ahead. It doesn't mean you don't make plans for the future. It just means that we're not to be concerned and worried about them. We're to trust in the Lord that he's going to do it. And I want to bring this other point up before we go on to verse 4. Notice, give us day by day our daily bread. Guys, this is very specific. When you pray, pray specifically to the Lord. What are your needs this morning? What are your needs? Let me give you an example. Lord, bless our family. We're going through a hard time. That's nice. That's a good prayer. But how about, Lord, I pray that you'd work in Johnny's heart that he wouldn't be rebellious. Father, I pray that you'd bless my wife and I so that we can get along and communicate better. Help us to talk about this issue of, you know, who's going to do what or whatever. Get specific with the Lord. Give him details. He loves details. God is a very detailed God. I was again sharing with the scouts a while back talking about prayer. And I said, you know, that God knows every hair on your head. And they were like, wow, God knows every hair. How could God know all that? We even talked about the sands of the sea. Again, the Bible says his thoughts toward you are more than the sands of the sea. Guys, next time you're at the beach or if you go this summer, pick up a handful. Hold it out and begin to drop it out slowly and look at each grain. Now realize that's one handful. Now look at the beach on either side of you. Now think about the world. The Bible says he thinks more, not about all of us congregated here, more about you than the sands of the sea. You think God cares about details? God cares greatly about details. I was sharing that with the kids that God knows every hair on the head, and one of the parents said, yeah, it's easier to count for some than others. But guys, the bottom line is God cares. Be specific. Give details. God wants details. He cares about your life. He's a very detailed God. Notice, and forgive us our sins. Guys, here's the next step to being successful in prayer. You need to have your sins forgiven. How does that happen? You've got to ask Jesus Christ into your heart because only his blood cleanses sin. You've got to give your life to him, and you've got to ask forgiveness of sin. I've heard people before that I know don't have a relationship with the Lord say, I pray, but God never answers. And it's almost like, why? What obligation does he have to? You don't know him. You're not his yet. Besides, is your sin taken away? Isaiah 59:2 says this, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Note that. Not that God doesn't want to hear. God just says, there's a wall of sin. And until that wall of sin is taken out of the way, I can't hear your prayers. I desire to hear them, but I can't until that's taken out of the way. It's interesting. Again, forgive us of our sins, having the heart clean. But then notice he says next, in this next element of prayer, and that is, make sure that we forgive others. Notice he says, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Guys, this is a very interesting principle. Did you know that if you don't forgive others, that the Bible says the Lord will not forgive you? Wow. Let that sink in your heart a minute. Let's just let that sink. If I don't forgive others, he won't forgive me. Listen what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men of their trespasses, by the way, that word means willful sins, willful wrongs. If you will not forgive men their willful wrongs, their trespasses, if you will forgive them, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their willful sin, their willful trespasses, note this, neither will your Father forgive yours. That's intense to me, because when I have the struggle to forgive that person, I love you, Lord, but that person, I'm not saying that you've lost your salvation. I'm not saying, we're not getting into some type of theology in that area. I'm saying this, for you to reestablish that intimate relationship with the Lord, that intimacy and that closeness, you've got to forgive others or that intimacy is broken. Husbands, ever had a fight with your wife? If you say you haven't, you're a liar. So this is a good day for repentance. Let's have just a time to pray, brothers. You know what happens? Temporarily, you're separated. You're still married, aren't you? You're still married, but there's this wall up. And now you don't communicate. And then there's that whole game of who's going to be the first one, you know. I'm not going to. They were wrong. And there's that whole thing. And then God forces us to humble ourselves and get it right. You know how that whole process works? Guys, here's my point. Listen, we are separate from one another because there's this sin issue that divides. As soon as that issue is dealt with, what happens? The relationship is reestablished. Here's what the Lord's teaching me, saying, guys, look, you can reestablish this relationship. He said, but you need to get it right. He says, if you don't forgive others, the Father will not forgive you either. You've got to forgive and you've got to be forgiven. This is how the system works. It's really beautiful because what it does, it backs us in a corner, doesn't it? It's hard for the Christian to say, well, I just refuse to forgive them. I will not. And God says, okay, I guess we won't talk for a while. That's not fair. I think it is because I love you and them and you're all part of my family and I want all my kids getting along. Doesn't mean you have to hang out with them. Means you need to forgive them. Now, let me say this before we move on. We're almost done here. We're only going to cover the Lord's Prayer today. But let me say this. Here's the bottom line. Can you do that on your own, by your own strength and power? Oftentimes not. So that's where you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I need you by your power now to help me to forgive because I just can't. I don't want to forgive them. I want to, you know, Kill them. But Lord, help me. Be honest. Again, there's that honesty in prayer. He says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation. Really, this can be deceiving because the Bible says that God does not lead us into temptation. What it literally means is this, and the Weiss scholar puts it this way, the Greek scholar Weiss says, and do not bring us into a place of testing where the circumstances in which we are tested may lead on to the place where we are solicited to do evil. A long translation. Here's the bottom line. What he's saying is, God, keep us from a place where we'll be tempted to do what's wrong. Guard us. Make sure that we make wise decisions. If you don't want to make sure that you fall back into drinking, don't hang out at the bar with your friends. If they pull out, you know, beer at the party, leave the party. You know, it's not standing around and say, God, help me, Lord, to resist this temptation, but I'm going to stay here and try to be a witness. It doesn't work that way. God says, get out of there. His point is this. Stay out of situations where you can be tempted. If you have an area in your life where you're weak, don't get in that area. There was some diet here recently a while back. I saw news where the guy was saying this. He said, look, you need to get over your temptations toward these certain foods. So everything you love the most while you're dieting, you can't eat them, but every day you've got to go and pick them up and look at them. I thought, boy, that'll be a successful diet. I bet those people gained weight. I mean, it's like, you can imagine, don't eat this chocolate. Okay, all right, every day I'm going to pick that up, going to don't eat this chocolate. I mean, by the time you may hold off a day or two, but then it turns into kind of a ha-ha-ha-ha, you know? Have you guys ever done that? You know, you don't have a donut for a week and then eat like 50 when you, okay, it's it, I'm done. Diet's over, you know? It's like that no-carb thing, man. It goes to like this carb vacuum cleaner, you know? Ah, you know? Can't get enough. And you end up gaining weight. It's crazy. No, that's not the way to deal with temptation. You don't sit there and keep it in your face. You know how to deal with temptation? You get rid of it. You throw the magazine away. You turn the TV off. You don't see that movie. You stay out of that particular place. See, that's what he's saying. God, keep us from doing those things. Keep us from temptation. And lastly, notice the last thing he says about prayer. And this is just as key. He says, but deliver us from the evil one. Note that. Maybe your Bible says deliver us from evil. That's how I learned it as a kid. Not accurate in the Greek. The language makes it very clear. It's speaking of a being, of a real person, if you will. He says, keep us from the evil one. Guys, who is the evil one? Satan himself. Again, Jesus very much believed in Satan. And Jesus taught his disciples that they needed to realize that when they prayed, they had an enemy that was very real and that hated them. And they needed to understand that in warfare. How sad it would be to go over to Iraq or anywhere else and think, you know what? We don't have any real enemies. You know, we're over here doing this stuff, but there's not really anybody that's against us, so there's no need to worry about it. Don't need to have my weapon. Don't need to be on my toes. Don't need to stay on guard in whatever the battle might be. No, here's what he's saying is, make sure that you're not only out of temptation, but ask the Father to deliver you from the evil one. Lord, keep me from places where he can get to me. Guard me, protect me. And the Bible says that he does put a wall of protection around us. Keep us from the evil one. He's not some Halloween costume. He's a very real being. And if we're not aware of that, we're not going to have the defenses that we need to fight him. The grammar again shows that it's speaking of it that way. And you can't defend against someone that you don't believe in. Guys, prayer. What is the main emphasis I think the Lord would get across to us today? And that's as far as we're going to go. We're only going to go up to there because we're not going to try to squeeze the rest of it in. And you guys by now, you're probably praying that I'd finish. See, some of you are already learning to pray right now. Father, shut this guy up. Hear us, O Lord, you know. But guys, a couple things I want you to remember this, and that is this. Prayers are intimate, not religious. Is your prayer intimate? See, this is what they said. Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray, not teach us how. Let's focus on the to part. Are your prayers intimate? Are you spending time with the Lord? First of all, that's the to part. The how part is this. Do you really feel like you know him? Because the Bible says if you know him, you'll know that you know him. If you don't know him, you probably have never met him. What a great time right now to say, Lord, I want to know you. I believe you died for my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Let it be something that's intimate. That reveals the relationship, whether you know him or not. Secondly, are your prayers detailed and specific? God wants us to pray in detail. Pray specifically. Thirdly, are they in simplicity and honesty? Just be yourself. Be simple. Be honest. The Lord knows anyway. There's nothing that is hidden from him. The Bible says that he knows all things. All things. The way the Bible puts it, we stand naked before the one with whom we have to do. He sees everything inside and out. Spiritually, our heart, he knows it all. We might as well pour it out to him and let him deal with our heart and as we deal with him. And as we're going to see the last element of it next week, and I'll just mention it now because we'll get to it next week. We don't have time this week. And that is, guys, persistence. Next week, we're going to see that the Lord goes into a parable where he teaches them, you know what? Now you've learned how to pray. I'm encouraging you to pray. But if you're going to find the success you need in prayer, you need to be persistent. And we'll look at that when we get there next week. But guys, our encouragement today is this. My encouragement for you, let's be men and women of prayer. Don't set your stopwatch. It's not trying to pray a certain amount of time or not a certain amount of time. Don't limit it just to your prayer closet. That's a great place to have it. But learn to pray everywhere and in all ways, and God will be faithful to do it. Why don't we pray to the Lord now, and let's pray with the way he taught them this particular prayer. Let's pray. Father, who art in heaven, Lord, you are our Father. Lord, you are intimate with us. You are our Abba. You are our Daddy. And Lord, sometimes it's hard for us to understand that. It's hard for us to grasp that. And yet, Lord, you are holy. But as our Father, Lord, in heaven, we know that you are greater than we are, Lord. You sit in a higher place. And right now, Lord, you look down upon us with love and mercy. And you know what's best for us, Lord. Teach us to pray how you would have us pray. Lord, truly, your name is hallowed. Your name is set apart. Your name is special. And Lord, we hold your name up as separate from all other so-called gods and all other so-called religions. Your name is hallowed and does stand alone. And Lord, we do pray for your kingdom to come. Lord, we anxiously await for your return, your soon and sudden return, Lord. We desire, Lord, for you to come back and establish your kingdom here on the earth, because we know that when you do that, Lord, there will be true righteousness and true justice, even as there has not been, Lord, since the day that Adam fell. And so, Lord, we do ask that you would come back and that you would establish your kingdom. And Lord, that your will would be done. God, teach us to pray in a way that is in line with what you want for us, what is best for us, not just what we want. And Lord, you love to hear us cry out, even for our desires. But teach us, God, to pray for those even within the confines of your will, Lord, to know what is best for us. And we know that you know that, Lord. And Lord, we do pray, God, that you would teach us to be looking to you to take care of our daily needs. As you said, Lord, day by day, our daily needs or our daily bread. Lord, help us to remember that you are faithful to give us those daily needs. And God, maybe there are some this morning that have a need right now. It can't even wait until tomorrow. Lord, show yourself strong in meeting that need right now, right where we are. Lord, that they might understand that you are intimate and that you do care. Lord, I do pray, God, that you would keep us from temptation. Lord, give us wisdom to stay out of places that we know we shouldn't be. Lord, not to be watching things we know we shouldn't watch. God, to guard our eyes, to guard our heart. And Lord, to be delivered from the evil one. God, protect us, Lord, from his schemes, his wiles, his deceptiveness, his tricks. And Lord, we know that you do give us that protection, but Lord, we ask for it because you have told us to, and we trust in you, Lord, to protect us. Lord, we know how to pray. We're doing that right now, but I pray that you would do for us the same thing you did for your disciples, and that is this. Lord, teach us to pray. Make us men and women of prayer. Lord, that we might first and foremost know you intimately. And Lord, secondly, God, that we might see you move in power in our life. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, God, for teaching your disciples how to pray and to pray and teaching us how to pray and to pray. We love you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.